I realized how much sweeter and nicer girls were. Now, I enjoyed playing with the guys, but the guys could be gross. They could be obstreperous. They could fight. They could be challenging. The girls tended to be truly sugar, spice, and everything nice. And much better looking. And then as we got older, the differences became more pronounced as testosterone turned the teenage boys to being crazy and just losing their minds completely and trying dangerous things. And the girls got more and more beautiful to me. And it seems like there is a general consensus among the guys. Now, I want to make a, just as I did earlier, and I made the supposition, the theory that I believe, that the greatest joy comes from love. But I'll make this supposition. God made women softer, gentler, more beautiful, sweeter. That's a generalization. There are some women that are not that way, and there are some men who are very, very, very sweet and should be. Those are the good guys. But also their personalities. I find that the personalities of women tend to be more gentle, more sweet, not as, and there are some who are women who are not this way, but generally not as likely to cause trouble. Look, when I am driving and something happens and I have to slow down and I look in my rearview mirror, if I see it's a man who is behind me, if I'm trying to figure my way, I figure he's upset. If it's a woman, I don't feel it's as likely. You know, if I look in my rearview mirror and somebody's tailgating me, it's most likely to be a guy that's doing it. Now, that's a generalization. But the point that I'm making is that God made women softer, gentler physically. But he also did emotionally. And what a blessing that is. I mean, I want to be married to someone who is soft and gentle and sweet. And God has given me that. So I very much appreciate it. Now, as we look at that, we have a question up here. God has glory. Does man have any glory? Anybody? What glory does man have?
Dominion over the animals.
Dominion over the animals. Okay.
Women?
Women? All right. Does a woman have any glory? What is a woman's glory? Who said that? Her hair. There you are. God gave her her hair. All right. Here it is. Turn it on. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15. But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. So God has glory. You know what it says God's glory is? It says the man is God's glory. Did you remember that? Right in this same chapter, it says that man is the glory of God. But I want you to see something else. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. Of all the things that God has created, he looks on the creation of man as a very high part of his glory. Because he's creating, he's trying to create his family. Just like there's a young, we sit down here, there's a young couple that sits down here usually, right in here. You're there, but you don't have your wife. And we love it because I like to sing with my arm around my wife's shoulder. Don't have to do that. Didn't do it for years, but do now. And he puts his arm around his wife, and she puts both arms around. We love it. She's got both. They're singing. She's got both arms, and they've got an adorable little boy. If you remember the children's choir, there was a little boy over on the right side. He had a tie, and he kept fiddling with his tie. Right? Remember that? That's there, that precious little boy. We just love every day looking at them. Just looking at them. Okay, a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. It says, but I didn't finish the verse. Look at the rest of the verse. But woman is the glory of man. How many men realize that their glory is not their muscles? It's not their muscle car. It's not their Mustang. It's not their Corvette. It's not their running or their weightlifting. God says a man's glory, woman, is the glory of man. Now, I go jogging, and I lift weights, but at 82, you know, I'm not lifting huge amounts of iron. I'm not pumping a lot of iron, and I'm running very slowly. And if I do 20 minutes, I think that's really good, that I'm doing well. So, you know, I'm not going to win any contest when I take my shirt off. In fact, there may be nausea. On my glory is sitting right down here. That's my glory. That's the glory. That's the glory of Fred Keller's, is Renee. Now, that's an interesting thought. That my glory is not something I own. It's not standing up and giving a Bible study. It's Renee. Charlotte Renee is my glory. It says so. Woman is the glory of man. She's better looking. She's sweeter. She's more patient. I think a lot of men need to know that their glory is not their clothes, their house, their motorcycle, their yard tractor, their zero-turn, you know, mower. That's not their glory. It's their wife. Now, here is the title of my Bible study. It is not good that the man should be alone. Now, I've been alone. And there are a lot of men here who are alone. And I'd say the majority, I mean, do you have to be married to be happy? Jesus never married. Elijah never married. Elisha never married. John the Baptist never married. There are many examples of men who, in the Bible, who were not married. So you don't have to be married. But if you're able to be married, and it's you can afford a wife and your health is up to taking care of her, it's just so much better. And you know the interesting thing? When I lost Lucretia, and I was just miserable for a year, and I'd feel bad because I'd say, well, I have God. Why should I feel so empty? I have God. I have Jesus. And you know, that verse was very comforting, that Adam had Jesus walking in the garden with him. But it wasn't Adam who said, boy, this isn't good. It was God, that having God and Jesus, the man didn't have a human being. Because a human being you can relate to a lot better. Just like little children tend to start getting along with little children. And people who are in the little kids in the first grade enjoy playing with little kids in the first grade. And then when you're a teenager, you enjoy teenagers your age. And God is the one who looked down and said, it's not good for man to be alone. So, what did he do? You know. And look at the second part. This is a different scripture. Now, I'm not trying to ignore it. Maybe I should walk over to this one here. I know. You're feeling bad, aren't you? Yeah, you felt neglected. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Now, let's face it. I said we're going to talk about some generalizations. If you find the wrong wife, you have not found a good thing, because the Bible says it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than a wide house with a brawling woman. So before I got married, I said the most important thing was to marry someone who was converted and had God's Holy Spirit and had love and joy and peace and patience. But I have to have love and joy and peace and patience. And if I don't have it, things aren't going to go well either. But if both the husband and wife have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all the fruits of the Spirit, how can they not have a successful marriage? How can they not have it? So I knew that had to come first. Didn't matter how beautiful she was. I've known some women who were beautiful that would just be very difficult for anybody to live with. But real beauty truly is on the inside. Real beauty truly is. Okay. Genesis. Let me walk this way first. Genesis 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. He's the one who said it. I will make him a helper comparable to him. In other words, flesh. That Jesus was walking with him, but he wasn't flesh. I mean, he may have appeared, but he was not a human being. He was God. He was God. So man needed that. God knew it. God knew it. Now, we're going to get to, are we 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7? Yes. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, Likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, I find that's usually misunderstood. I misunderstood it for a long while. That's often misunderstood and looked at giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. And that could be misinterpreted as to the inferior vessel. The inferior vessel. Now, how are women inferior? Listen, are men smarter? Well, when I went to school, it was the girls generally who got the best grades. When I went to the University of South Carolina and we had one class in physics, I was taking engineering. And let me tell you, it was a huge class, several hundred. And this professor would go across the board and would write all of this business in there. And this was the, and it was confusing. He'd go on and on and on and on. You know, everybody said, I don't understand what he said. There was one girl that did. The only person who really, really aced that class was a girl. And generally, when I was in school, the girls made the best grades. I think they actually tried more than the guys did. So it says, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. You know, I like a couple of other translations better than that. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. The Good News Bible has, it says, in the same way you husbands must live with your wives with the proper understanding that they are more delicate than you. I really prefer the term delicate. My wife is more delicate. And she's weaker physically than I am, but she's delicate. And the International Standard Version, in a similar way, you husbands must live with your wives in an understanding manner as with a most delicate partner, not inferior, delicate. Honor them as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing may interfere with your prayers. Now notice it says give honor, give honor. What is a vessel? It holds something, right? A vessel holds something. Of course, we call a boat a vessel because it's similar. And which vessels do we give honor to in our house? All right. I have a couple of vessels right here. Let's see if I have them. There's a vessel right there. That's a delicate, weak vessel. And there are two vessels right there. Here we go. Here they are right here. Which one of these do you think my wife might put in the china cabinet? Which one do you think she might put up on the mantelpiece? This came out of a crock pot. It's a vessel. It's strong. It's not going into the china cabinet. Now, I don't control what's in the china cabinet. She does. But she's not going to put this. She might put this. That's a delicate vessel. This is a weaker vessel. See, now, which one of these is the inferior vessel? Neither one. This is not, this crock pot, this pot out of, it's not inferior. This one's not inferior. But you give honor to the weaker vessel. Now, this is the stronger vessel, but it's not superior. We give honor to this one over here. And by the way, if we're going to have some wine, we're not going to use this. We wouldn't remain sober, and it would probably spill all over us. This is what I want us to see of the difference between the way God made men and women. Different use. Have different jobs often. Can do the same thing. Not less intelligent. But what concerns me is whether men are truly giving honor to the delicate vessel. If they really appreciate. I'll tell you when you'll appreciate your wife, when you lose her. That's when you'll appreciate her. That's when you'll appreciate your husband, by the way, generally. Now, there are exceptions. I was in New Zealand. I almost hate to tell you this. But I will anyway. So there's a sweet little widow in the congregation in Auckland. I was there for half a year because the pastor was not feeling well. And it was after Lucretia had died. So Lucretia had died. I was asked to go to New Zealand to fill in for the pastor who was not well, Daniel Porteous. He's moved back here to the U.S. now. But anyway, I thought, well, sweet little Olive, she's up here, and she's lost her husband, and I know what it's like to lose your mate. So I couldn't go visit her by myself, so I got one of the men in the church, younger man, and he and I went to visit Olive, and I thought, well, I'll just try to comfort her that she's a widow, she's lost her husband. And I asked her, well, you lost your husband. Do you miss him? And she said, you know, he was a very angry person. He was always angry at somebody, calling people up, angry at the government, angry at everything. And she said, for 2 days, I grieved. And then she said, I thought, you know, it sure is peaceful in this house. And she said she hadn't grieved since. That's a tragedy. I mean, you laugh, and I laugh, but that was a tragedy. She was a sweet, sweet, sweet lady. She's up in her 80s. Okay. So, where'd we get to? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 28. By the way, how long are Bible studies supposed to go? 3 to 5 hours. How many of you agree with this gentleman over here? How many of you would like to hang him up? Take him outside. Boy, when I came into church, services generally ran 2.5 hours. And Bible studies were 1.5 hours. The Bible studies were divided into 3 sections. It started off with world news and what's happening in the church and new congregations were being started and where they were, healings, things like that. And what was happening in Germany didn't much happen. But anyway, the next half hour would be answer. I can't remember now, of all things, we had two more half hours, but one was answering questions, and they would hand out little slips of paper, so you couldn't have a huge question on it. You know, they didn't want huge questions, so they had little slip. Men would go around, and they would pass them up, and the two men sitting on stage had a basket in between, little table and a basket between them, and they'd put the questions in there and answer them and have a half hour of answering questions and then cover a half hour through whatever the series of the Bible study that they were going through. So we're not going to go a hour and a half. Yeah, you can hold your applause for later. Just thank me later. So anyway, Ecclesiastes, this is interesting. Solomon had 1,000 women. 1,000 women. He didn't have a wife, he had a harem. He didn't have a companion. He had just lots of women for their bodies. None of them were really a companion. You can't have that. So, with 1,000 women, how happy was he? He says, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. He doesn't say what he's seeking. One man among 1,000 I have found. In other words, someone who answered what he was seeking for. But a woman among all these, 1,000 wives, 1,000 women, I have not found. So he began finally to realize that he had made a serious mistake. Because in Ecclesiastes 9:9, yeah, I've got it there. This is the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I like the way it's translated. Enjoy life with the wife you love all the days of your fleeting life, which has been given to you under the sun, all your fleeting days. For that is your portion in life and in your struggle under the sun. Solomon came to believe that what God had given us in this life that brings joy and worth in this little tiny life is a woman, is a wife, a companion. Isn't that amazing? He realized he had missed out. But he saw other men. Just like this young couple that we see down here. With his arm around her and her arms around him and their beautiful little boy. And they're happy. Renee and I look over at them and it just thrills us to look at them. So you realize now that you're going to be stared at tomorrow. Your wife had better put both of her arms around you like I just mentioned. And you better not fuss at her. And I don't think you will. But Mom is taking care of the little boy, so tonight. So, what a joy. That is your portion in life. That's how important a gift God feels he has given to a man when he gives him a wife. When God looked down at Adam and said, it's not good for this man to be alone. I could call Bob up here to amen this, but he'd start crying. Because he knows how wonderful a wife is and how precious a gift God had given him. Judy was a precious gift. Okay, Proverbs 5, verses 18 through 19. Let your fountain be blessed. It talks about let your wife be like a fountain in Proverbs. She's like, have your fountain be an enclosed fountain, it mentions, not waters in the street. Your own private fountain that you have. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. You know, it's strange the way God made men to be attracted to their wives. I mean, it's really strange. Mammary glands. Mammary glands. Mammals are creatures that where the female produces this perfect food for babies. Cows, deer, even elephants are all mammals. Even whales and porpoises produce this milk that is perfect food at just the right temperature. You don't have to take the bottle and hold it under the hot water. It's perfect temperature. It's ready. And I used to watch my wife nurse our baby. What could be more beautiful than to watch your beautiful little baby being nursed by your wife? Just gorgeous, beautiful little baby. And, you know, it's interesting, the little baby while being nursed will reach up and touch mommy's face. It's gorgeous. But it's strange how God has made those mammary glands attractive to the husband. I mean, bulls don't go around saying, look at that udder. The only mammals that are attracted to the mammary glands are males. And God did that to us. It's strange. But he says, let her breast satisfy you at all times. That means you don't have to be just staring at others. You've got your own pair. And always be enraptured with her love. What a wonderful thought. Always be enraptured with her love. Be thrilled with her. What a joy. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds, and it's interesting how many scriptures there are telling men how blessed they are to have a wife. How blessed they are. Now, some of us who are here could tell you, you don't really appreciate your wife till you lose her. Just like you take your eyes for granted if you've always been able to see. You take your ears for granted if you've always been able to hear. You take your feet for granted if you've always, as long as you can remember, been able to walk. We just take what we have for granted. And when you're married, you just begin to take that woman for granted. She's there every day. She's there in the morning. She's there at night. She's there in the morning. She's there at night. until you lose her, or you lose your husband. But he who finds a wife finds a good thing. A good thing. You really know how good it was when you lose her. But don't wait till then. Men, don't wait till then. And obtains favor from the Lord. Just having her is God's favor. The easy-to-read version of Proverbs 19:14. This is a different one. People receive houses and money from their parents. But a good wife is a gift from the Lord. There's my gift from God right down here. See, I lost Lucretia and went a year in misery. You may have heard me tell this story. I got to the one-year anniversary of her death, and I'd been miserable. I mean, I was in New Zealand and had two congregations about 2 hours apart, Auckland and Hamilton. And at Sabbath, I'd have to drive in between them, drive other times in between them. And I was there 4 months before I realized there were beautiful hills beside the road. All I'd do is stare at the road and think about Lucretia. So I got to the one-year anniversary, and I thought it'd be miserable. And I thought, what would Lucretia say if she could see how miserable I've been? And I could hear her. I could just hear her. Fred, quit moping and get a life. Because I wouldn't have wanted her to mope for a year or two. And then, that was July 4th. So every Independence Day, that's part of my memory, as I lost her 7:40 in the morning. I was fixing her hair because she always wanted her hair fixed and she couldn't fix her hair. So I'd fix it every morning and she quit breathing. But I got to the 1 year anniversary and I could hear her saying, quit moping, get a life. Now, it took a year before I could even imagine. And I thought, but I thanked God every day for taking her out of the hospital bed. She was in a hospital bed at home. I thanked God for taking her out of that hospital bed. I was thanking God that she was her spirit had gone to heaven. Now, she's not up there thinking, but just like said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So that was, then I went to the Feast of Tabernacles, and this sweet lady came up and smiled and thanked me for a sermon I'd given that she'd seen online. There she is, right there. Thank you, Father. Well, let me tell you, I appreciate having lost Lucretia, I appreciate this lady more than I did Lucretia. Because I know I've just got her for a moment, just a moment. This gift from God, this gift that God has given me is just for a moment. But now I'm going to be with them forever. And I didn't I tell you I know what is going to happen when... Didn't I tell you that already? When Renee goes up in the resurrection and goes to Lucretia and say, well, after you had died and I met Fred at the feast and we got married, I told you what Lucretia was going to say. Didn't I? Yes. Oh, you poor thing. Oh, you poor thing. And then they'll commiserate. He said that about you too. So there we got to the easy to read version. A good wife is a gift from the Lord. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous wife? Me. Hopefully, you. For her worth is far above rubies. Think of that. Her worth is far above rubies. And the contemporary English version, that is right, yes, okay. A truly good wife is the most precious treasure a man can find. Wow, is that true? Is that true? Let me tell you, no amount of money or jewels or anything comes anywhere close to Renee. The joy, you know, the thing is, every morning, I usually wake up first, not always, but I usually wake up first. I'm more of an early riser. And when she comes out of the bedroom, joy in my heart. Oh, let me tell you, I thank God. Because we're not going to be together forever. Well, we will, but not as husband and wife. But we actually pray that God will take us both at the same time. Now, God hasn't promised that, so I don't expect him to do it, but we can ask that he lets us just both go to sleep at one night and wake up in the kingdom. Now, if you ever hear that that happened, you'll know we prayed for it and that God was merciful. But I expect to live with her and Lucretia, not as husband and wife, but as wife of Jesus. And as a spirit being created in God's love, I'll love her and Lucretia, and we'll love each other, and we'll all love each other more than any husband and wife in the flesh. So it's going to be better. It's going to be a better relationship than we have here. Yes, a truly good wife is the most precious treasure a man can find. Isn't that amazing? The most precious treasure a man can find. That's an astounding thought. This is a plaque in my house that I purchased. It's on the wall by our table. Where we eat. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. That's absolutely, what a wonderful thing that is. This is a picture. Who sent us this? We had the picture, but, oh, Louis Van Osdell. That's who it was, Louis Van Osdell. This picture was, I guess, on the internet of Renee and myself down at the feast in Panama City Beach. And Louis got that, and he sent that, and the words, you may not be able to see it on the side. But Louis Van Osdell put in, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord, Proverbs 18:22. Thank you, Louis. What a wonderful guy. Any of you, he's your pastor? Isn't he incredible? I love his Bible studies Monday nights. All right, he's your uncle. He seems to have a lot of nephews. He's over in England right now with a nephew. Wales. Yeah, in Wales. Well, it's sort of attached to England. Yep. I kept the feast in Wales one year. All right. I hope that this Bible study just makes you appreciate the gift, men, if you're married, if you aren't, a lot of people are not, I realize. But if you're married, I hope this helps you to appreciate the valuable gift that you give honor to. Thank you for coming out. That's it.